Okay, got that in place, and we will get underway. This is Earl Bell with Republic Magazine, and I want to welcome everyone to the Monday Republic Magazine webinar. And this whole week is like last week in that we are honoring and featuring and focusing on the Freedom Law School 2010 Take Back America Health and Freedom Conference being held in Ontario, California, March 12th through 15th. And today's special guest is someone that is also one of the presenters at the conference that's up and coming. Those that have been following our webinars for the last couple of weeks have noted that we have really focused on that, and those are the people that we brought to you. And I think you can see a pattern of incredible speakers that are really on top of their particular subject matter and have a lot to share with us. Many times it may kind of rock our sense of what we thought we believed about something, and maybe met his question a little bit and search a little bit, do a little bit more investigation and come to some new conclusions, or maybe we were right on the track after all, maybe a little adjustment here and there. But at any rate, I don't think today is going to be any exception with that. And I just ask you, with everything presented, to have an open mind and do your own research. Check stuff out. Don't just accept what anybody says, whether it's me or any of the guests we have on here or anybody else on the planet. You're the one that's got to make up your own mind and satisfy yourself of what the truth is. If you do have a question for our special guest and you're on the phone line, just dial *2 on your phone keypad. That way we can know that you want your line unmuted long enough to ask the question, and we'll make sure that that happens, time allowing. And if you're on the Internet, you've come to us that way, then there's a question box. It's a small one just under where the link is. Type your question in there. It'd be helpful if we had a first name and city and state you're from, and go ahead and submit that question so that we can ask it. This is being recorded and will be posted shortly after the webinar at republicmagazine.com/webinar. As all of our past webinars are, you'll find a real treasure trove there. Check them out, share them, listen to them yourself. A lot of education there. And I just want to say that for people who want more information on Freedom Law School's conference, you can find it at freedomlawconference.com. And the interesting thing about that conference, it's actually being offered at no charge, so that due to our economy and the extraordinary circumstances we're under, no one will be turned away for lack of money. But however, we do, and what Freedom Law School encourages is for those who can donate to donate whatever they consider appropriate at whatever time that's possible for them to do that. And that will help make sure that everything continues. And so, without further ado, what I want to do is go ahead and bring our special guest forward. And to do that, I'll give a little introduction here. Sally Fallon Morrill is the author of Nourishing Traditions, the cookbook that challenges politically correct nutrition and the diet dictocrats, with Mary G. Inning, I guess that's how you pronounce it, PhD, as co-author. This thought-provoking book contains a surprising message. Saturated fat and cholesterol are not enemies, but play vital roles in human biochemistry. Fallon Morrill is the founding president of the nonprofit Western A. Price Foundation and editor of Wise Traditions, the foundation's quarterly journal. She is also the founder of A Campaign for Real Milk, which promotes access to clean, whole raw milk from pasture-fed cows. She is also the author of Eat Fat, Lose Fat, also with Mary G. Inig, PhD. And so I think maybe we'll just jump right in with some questions here. Who was Weston Price, and what did he discover? If you would, Sally, that'd be great. Welcome, by the way, to our webinar.
Well, Weston Price was the author of a very influential book called Nutrition and Physical Degeneration that details what he discovered about healthy, primitive, or non-industrialized people back in the 20s and 30s. And he was looking for the answer to the question, what is a healthy diet? And also, what is health, I guess you might say. And he found 14 groups that had, first of all, perfect dental health. And Dr. Price was a dentist, so he was looking at their teeth. 14 groups that had no cavities, no crowding of the teeth, no dental deformities, and excellent overall health. And then he looked at their diets. And the main underlying factor in these diets, of course, they were all whole natural foods. They weren't any processed foods. But the thing that was really surprising about these diets was the very high levels of three key vitamins, much higher than all the others and much, much higher than we get in the Western diet. And these were vitamins A, D, and K. And there's only one place to get those vitamins, and that's in the very high-fat, cholesterol-rich foods like butter, egg yolks, organ meats, fish eggs, animal fats. And these people sought out these foods and got very high levels of these vitamins from these foods. Well, these are the very foods that we've been told are bad for us and we shouldn't eat. So we set up the Weston A. Price Foundation to provide accurate nutrition information to show how the demonization of these foods is wrong and unscientific, and to help people find the foods that are rich in these fat-soluble vitamins.
Well, I'm wondering, why should we be including saturated fats in our diets, contrary to tons of information, just an overwhelming amount of information?
Well, an overwhelming amount of propaganda, which is just simply not true. In fact, there just was a big review study showing that there was no relationship between saturated fat and heart disease. Your body needs saturated fat, and if you refuse to eat saturated fats, your body's going to crave carbohydrates because your body just makes saturated fats out of carbohydrates. Wouldn't it be better to get your saturated fats already made so your body didn't have to make them, and carrying these really critical vitamins A, D, and K, which you need for basically every process in your body? The whole thing about saturated fats, the demonization of saturated fats, was carried out by the vegetable oil industry to demonize their competition. They've been very effective at this, and they're just basically wrong. I mean, saturated fats are extremely important in the diet. And what's happened is that people have abandoned the traditional healthy foods they used to eat and started eating a diet based on seed oils, vegetable oils. And these are an absolute disaster in the human body.
Okay. And, you know, it's an interesting thing because I think our listeners really do understand about how it's business as usual, and sometimes extremely unethical things are done.
Oh, yes, yes.
Lies are promoted, and it's strictly for business because they mean to sell product and they mean to overcome the competition, and they'll do whatever it takes to make that happen. So they don't care if they lie to us. They don't care if they wreck our health or even people die. So what?
Well, the vegetable oils, the liquid vegetable oils, the partially hydrogenated vegetable oils are much cheaper to produce. So the food industry has a much cheaper product. They make you sick, so they feed into the medical industrial complex. They really mess up brain function. So we're getting a generation of children who can't think as well as the previous generation. And they also make it very hard to make money at farming because nobody wants to pay farmers for their butter and animal fats anymore.
Mm. Wow. Well, I'm wondering, I know you've mentioned that suggested that coconut oil is really good for weight loss. Why do you say that?
Well, coconut oil is a very special fat. This is one of the plant oils that we do like. It comes from the tropics, and the fats and the plants in the tropics tend to be more saturated because of the higher heat of the climate. And coconut oil has some very special type of saturated fat. They're called medium-chain triglycerides. And these are really good for weight loss because your body never stores these type of fats. What they do is speed up your metabolism, make your raise your body temperature so you lose weight more easily, and they're not stored as fat, they're used as energy. So they're really, it's really a great fat for people who have low metabolism and want to lose weight.
Okay, and I'm wondering, with, you know, there's a lot of talk of nutrients and what's lacking and what's in diets and where you get it and all of that, but what would you say are the nutrients that are most lacking in the modern diet today?
Well, vitamins A, D, and K. Now, our government recognizes the, or let's put this way, a lot of people have recognized the fact that we're extremely deficient in vitamin D. And our government has taken the stand that you can't get vitamin D from food. And we think they're actually fudging the vitamin D levels in some of the food tables because there's plenty of vitamin D in food. There's vitamin D in butter. There's vitamin D in egg yolks if the, you know, cows and the chickens are raised outside. There's 1,000 units of vitamin D in 1 tablespoon of grass-fed lard. That's all it takes is to solve the vitamin D deficiency problem. Just use lard. We recently tested some fish eggs, caviar. There was 11,000 units of vitamin D in 1 tablespoon of caviar. Shrimp is a wonderful source, all the shellfish. So there's plenty of vitamin D in our food, but once again, it's in the foods that we're told we shouldn't be eating. And then vitamin A, they've done just the opposite. They've said that vitamin A is toxic and told people not to eat liver, not to eat butter, not to eat these, not to take cod liver oil, all these wonderful healing foods that are rich in vitamin A. Third one is vitamin K2, the animal form of vitamin K, and there hasn't actually been a lot of research done on this vitamin, but it's found in liver and fatty meats and cheese and egg yolks and all of the foods, once again, that we're told not to eat. Vitamin K is critical for bone formation, for having attractive features. If mothers have a lot of vitamin K in their diets, then the babies will have very broad faces and be very attractive.
Mm. Okay.
And they won't need braces either.
Oh, okay. I know you kind of touched on this before, but why do the diet dictocrats preach against consuming saturated fats?
Because they want you to use the seed oils, the vegetable oils. And also they preach against cholesterol. And we've demonized our very best friend, cholesterol. You need cholesterol for everything, especially for thinking and for memory.
Okay, so it really is, it's just pretty much...
I read something the other day that absolutely floored me that I had never read before. We have an epidemic of diabetes right now. And we've known for a long time that you need vitamin D to produce insulin. But I just read that the beta cells in the pancreas can't function without a lot of cholesterol and a lot of fat. So unfortunately, we put our diabetics on these low-fat, low-cholesterol diets. It's the very worst thing we could do for them.
Mm. It's really something. There's so much miseducation out there. It's just sometimes it's very difficult to unravel it all the layer upon layer of disinformation.
Well, this is what I do in my seminar. I'm giving this on the Monday of the conference, the Freedom Law Conference, and it's a day-long seminar on traditional diets, and we go very carefully and slowly, one step at a time, to answer this question, what is a healthy diet, and what you can do to improve your diet.
That's great. That's going to be quite an event, I'll tell you. Yeah, you're way more than just a presenter there. It's an all day event that you're putting on.
Right.
So that's very involved, and I think that's what it takes for people to get. We're just going to have a little stroke across the top of this from what you've got to share.
Mm-hmm.
As just in depth information that a lot of people never realized that they could understand it so clearly. Well, I'm wondering what are lacto-fermented foods as you talk about?
Okay, lacto-fermentation is an ancient way of preserving foods, and the food that's most familiar to us as lacto-fermented is sauerkraut, which is a preserved cabbage. Now, this is done not with sugar or vinegar or with pasteurizing. It's done with this process called lacto-fermentation, which is the basically is preserved by bacteria who secrete lactic acid, and lactic acid is a preservative. And this is what makes these foods sour. But what lacto-fermented foods do is put all sorts of enzymes and good bacteria in your intestinal tract where they belong and give you good gut flora and a lot of good enzymes for digestion.
Very good. Well, what's the science behind the health benefits of old-fashioned chicken soup?
Yeah, we're big advocates of broth, of bone broth, and these provide a lot of good minerals in a form that's easy assimilated. They help the body detoxify. They help build strong joints and cartilage. But most important, they help with digestion because the broths are full of gelatin, and the gelatin is hydrophilic. It attracts digestive juices and helps that all your food that you eat is well digested.
I'm wondering, there's a lot of controversy about grains, about them being good, bad, whatever. Should we include them, and is there a rule of thumb about the amount or what the types and that sort of thing?
Well, Dr. Price found several healthy cultures that were eating grains, but there was a big difference in the way they prepared the grains compared to what we do today. See, grains contain a lot of toxins, and they need to basically be fermented, which is what the sourdough process is, or the sour soaking. And that's what all these traditional cultures did, often for as long as 2 weeks. So this is what we advocate. We try to show people what they can do about their diet, how they can include things in their diet, and not to say you can't have this in your diet. So we show them how to include the grains properly prepared and not overdo on them, how to include the fats, which fats are healthy, how to include salt, how to include sweet things. We want our eating experience to be as, you know, as delicious and pleasurable as possible.
Well, what that brings up for me is that, you know, we hear of so many people that are intolerant, supposedly, or have allergies mm-hmm. to, you know, wheat or bread or, you know, things that have wheat in them.
Mm-hmm.
And then also we hear of people talking about lactose intolerance.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, could you speak to both of those and kind of clarify
yes.
they really can?
Well, the grains, grains are very, very hard to digest, and especially gluten-containing grains like wheat. Now, I think there's several problems here. First of all, the children are being brought up on low-fat diets and low-cholesterol diets, and their guts are not forming properly. So the guts cannot handle these hard-to-digest foods, and that's one aspect of it. I think another is the way we raise our grains and prepare them. You know, the modern bread making can take grains of wheat, and in 2 hours they're in a plastic bag as a loaf of bread. And that's not long enough to break down all of these toxic components in the grains. There's a lot of additives used. There's a lot of sprays on the wheat, fumigants and so forth. And I think all this is adding insult to injury and making people very intolerant of modern wheat products. It doesn't need to be if they're, you know, first of all, if you feed children properly when they're young, if you wait to introduce the grains, and then if you prepare them properly, there really shouldn't be a problem with grains. And don't overdo. People are eating too many grains, for sure, in this culture. Now, the lactose intolerance is something else, and we really believe that the vast majority of cases of so-called lactose intolerance are really pasteurization intolerance. Because when you pasteurize milk, it becomes extremely hard to digest. And also when you take the fat out of the milk, it becomes extremely hard to digest. Or if you feed the cows the wrong types of foods, very allergenic proteins come through into the milk. And this is why we support a campaign for real milk. And by real milk, we mean milk that's whole. It has all the butterfat in it. It comes from pasture-fed cows, cows eating the food they're designed to eat. And it's unpasteurized, so all the goodness is still there. Nothing's been messed up by this rapid heating process.
Okay.
We did a survey of people diagnosed as lactose intolerant, and we found that 82% of them had no problems drinking raw milk.
That's very revealing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, because people go, well, how do you know? Well, because you tested it.
Right, right, right.
and it was real consistent. So
yeah,
that's interesting, very, very interesting. I would dare say many people, probably most people, maybe even that statement would be true, have a total misunderstanding about what's causing what for them.
Yeah.
They're attributing things to one thing, and it's totally in another direction.
Exactly, exactly. You're in California, right?
Yes.
Well, you can get raw milk in California in stores, and it's a wonderful thing about living in California. And by the way, a lot of people work very hard to preserve the right to get raw milk in California. So please support. There's two raw milk dairies, Organic Pastures in Claravale, and we hope that your listeners will support these dairies. And this is a wonderful food, terrific food for children. It helps them build strong. It's much better than pasteurized milk for building strong bones and teeth.
Well, you know, I would dare say if people might hear some things maybe already or hear them yet in this webinar or through, you know, investigating further, they may, you know, go, oh, my God, that's crazy. I can't, you know, I can't believe this or that or the other. But I would challenge anyone to, if what you're doing is not working and you're having challenges and difficulties, what would be the harm in maybe doing a short-term experiment, trying something different to see if it might change what's been happening with your body?
Right.
Probably worth the risk.
We've had a lot of cases of asthma clear up with raw milk, and children's behavior improves when they get on raw milk. The children who are off the walls and need to be drugged and everything, they usually become very different type of children when they're on raw milk.
Interesting. Well, I would wonder, you know, if you have any input as to what you believe is the primary cause of chronic sinus condition, like mucus production and that sort of thing. What do you think is that's deriving from?
You know, it's very hard to say. It could be environmental toxins. It could be some dental issues. Could be, you know, a cavitation or something like that. It could be nutrient deficiencies. Could be anything. But usually our diet helps all these things.
Okay. So you've seen marked improvement in those areas with people if they really follow what you're
absolutely doing. Absolutely.
There
may be some organic reason, you know, like some kind of blockage or something. And that would have to be taken care of in a different way.
So it's a multifaceted thing. It's
yes.
not just one thing
yes.
that'll
yeah.
turn the dial and everything's different for everybody.
Yeah.
Sometimes there are other factors, it sounds like, that come into play.
Right, right.
So you it sounds like that whatever you don't directly deal with, you've got various resources as well.
Well, our best resource is our website. It's westonaprice.org. westonaprice.org, and we have a Google search on the website. And looking for any subject, just say you were looking for sinuses or diabetes or cavities, you could look it up on the website through the search.
Great. And if there are some people that are listening to us by phone line that maybe aren't internet savvy, is there a main phone number that people
yes.
can...
Yes, uh-huh. And we're in Washington, D.C. The number is 202-363-4394. And we have a little brochure with our guidelines and principles of healthy diets, and we'll send it out to you absolutely free. And
oh, wonderful.
202-363-4394.
Okay, and let's see, there's a couple of other questions that I wanted to ask you, and then depending on what we have coming in, I wanted to invite folks to join in this conversation, and if you do have a question for Sally, then if you're on the phone line, just dial *2 on your phone keypad so that we can unmute your line. And then if you are online, just type your question in the small question box there on underneath the link and submit it, and that way we can make sure it gets asked. Sally, I was going to ask you, what are the roles of cholesterol in the human body?
Well, cholesterol is needed the most basic thing for cholesterol is needed to make your cells waterproof, so you have a different chemistry on the inside and the outside of the cell. And it's the cholesterol in the cell membrane that makes your cells waterproof. So that's, you know, that's just absolutely key. Cholesterol is what our hormones are made out of, testosterone, estrogen, progesterone. They're all made out of cholesterol. You need to, cholesterol for a lot of receptors in the brain, especially the receptors for feel-good chemicals. I mean, there's nothing that goes on in your body that doesn't involve cholesterol, actually.
Well, do we have to worry about our levels of cholesterol?
You absolutely do not. It might be if you are a man under the age of 60 and your cholesterol is over 300, which is a very small number of people. At that point, cholesterol is a risk factor. It doesn't mean it's the cause, but it's a risk factor for heart disease, a very slight risk factor.
Okay.
You know, half the people who get heart attacks have normal or low cholesterol. Cholesterol is not a good predictor. Cholesterol levels are not a good predictor of whether or not you'll get heart disease, although low cholesterol is a pretty good risk factor or predictor of whether you'll get cancer.
Okay. Well, I know you've spoken and written extensively about the dangers of low-fat diets.
Yes.
And I hope maybe you can just maybe clarify again, reemphasize about why low-fat diets are so dangerous.
Well, they mess up your blood sugar. You need fats to regulate your blood sugar. You need fats for your heart. You need fats, and when I say fats, I'm talking mostly saturated fats. You need them for your lungs to work. You need them for your kidneys to work. You need them for your brain to work. The brain is 50% saturated fat. So once again, they're just needed for everything. You need saturated fat to put the calcium down in the bones. You need saturated fat for detoxification. You need it for the essential fatty acids to work properly. You need it for your cell membranes to have integrity in the cell membrane. I mean, I could go on and on. Saturated fats protect the liver. They're just absolutely vital. That's why you find them in the body, because the body wants them there.
It sounds like the body knows exactly what to do with it.
And the reason your body needs saturated fat is because it's warm. It's a tropical environment in your body, and just like plants in the tropics that need more saturated fats for membrane integrity and so forth, same with your body. Your body is not a room temperature body. It's a warm body.
Okay. And I know you emphasize, I want people to be able to understand what you actually mean by traditional food choices and preparation techniques, so they don't get that confused.
Well, by traditional food choices, it means the foods that your great-grandparents ate, people brought up before the Second World War. They ate butter. They cooked in lard. They used coconut oil. They ate the fat on their meat. They ate liver once a week. They made soup with bones. You know, they made sourdough bread. That's what we mean, the way we used to eat and the way we used to prepare food, because there's a tremendous amount of wisdom there, and that's what the body wants.
And it sounds like also it's the least processing possible, the most natural.
You say that, but some foods do need processing, but the right kind of processing. Grains need processing properly. They need to be soured or soaked. Vegetables. Most vegetables need to be cooked. Some vegetables need to be salted and soaked to get toxins out. So, and this has mostly to do with the plant foods. They often need special processing. There are lots and lots of toxins in plant foods. And we're not saying don't eat plant foods, but people need to know how to eat plant foods.
Okay. Very interesting. All right. I would just say that you've been extremely clear, and I don't know how someone could get too confused on this, but let's see if we – hold on just a second. Let me check here. We do have a couple of questions that have come in on the Internet. We've got Shirley in Riverside. What are the best foods and vitamins to improve nerve functions?
Good question. Well, the nerves are made up of saturated fat and cholesterol. So high cholesterol foods, I can't think of a better food than egg yolks, which are full of choline, which is critical for the functioning of your nervous system. And then, so any foods like butter or egg yolks, the fat on your meat, organ meats like liver, pate, seafood like shellfish. And then there's what you need to avoid. And number one would be any foods containing MSG, because MSG is extremely toxic to the nervous system. And so that's basically any processed food. And, you know, the MSG is not on the label. It's in the spice mixes and the flavorings, and they don't have to actually put it on the label. And then artificial sweeteners, the aspartame is extremely toxic to the nervous system. So you need to get back to real foods, real flavorings, you know, real natural sweeteners, et cetera.
What would you say are some of the best natural sweeteners? Would it be, you know, xylitol and stevia and that sort of thing, or what?
Well, no, xylitol is not a natural sweetener. Xylitol is the made in a factory. It's a sugar alcohol, and it does have some problems. I'm thinking of things like maple syrup, honey, molasses, dehydrated cane sugar juice. It's called Rapadura. If you use a stevia, you want the ground-up leaves. It's a green powder, not the extract, which is a white powder.
Mm, okay, that's important to know. Oh, gosh, I'm trying to think of that other one. It's almost like a honey. It's
And not agave.
Agave, yeah, I was going to ask
agave
you.
Is just like high fructose corn syrup. It's very, very high in free fructose. Actually, it's much, much higher than high fructose corn syrup, and it's made by a chemical-intensive industrial process that actually creates a type of fructose that's foreign to your body.
Mm, okay. And there's a lot of, you know, controversy back and forth about two things, not high fructose corn syrup, but just actual fructose itself.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is honey. People say honey's good, and other people say no, it's not. It turns into sugar. It's going to hit your body the same as sugar. What could you flesh those out for us a little bit?
So the first question was about fructose. Fructose in fruit is a natural fructose, and in moderation, it's fine, especially in the context of a diet with the good fats. You know, I always say the real reason we eat fruits and vegetables is as vehicles for good fats, like whipped cream or butter. So that's fine. And honey is a natural sweetener. It's fine in moderation. I really stress moderation. It's a good sweetener to use. We would never tell someone not to eat sweet things. You have a sweet taste in your mouth, and it needs to be satisfied. But we need to use the sweeteners that God gave us and not sweeteners made in factories.
Okay, very good. I think that obviously there are so many areas we could go into. I guess by my not knowing quite enough about you know, the different things that you work with, it's almost hard to know where to go. But
well, you know, I do want to stress that at my seminar on Monday, this is Monday, is it the
15th, I believe, of March?
Monday the 15th of March. It's very step-by-step, and I'm going to go through all of these, and there'll be a lot of slides on food preparation and how to do this.
Okay, so you're going to have some good visuals that...
Oh, absolutely. It's a PowerPoint presentation, yes.
And it's going to be real... it's probably going to be more detailed so that people that go through that can leave with a complete understanding and a full program that they could work with.
And it's first you learn the principles, and then it's very practical.
Well, that's really good because, you know, people want something they can plug into,
yeah.
Not just some concepts, and now what do I do? And
exactly, yeah.
And now the foundation, how long has it been in existence?
The Weston A. Price Foundation is 10 years old. We have a very popular website, westonaprice.org, where We have a blog. We have reader comments. It's a very interactive website. And we also publish a journal. If you're a member, you receive our journal. But I think most importantly, we have this system of local chapters. And if you're interested in what we're doing, if you want to learn more, if you want to find the types of foods that we're talking about in your area, the grass-fed animal products and the raw milk and so forth, what you do is you contact your local chapter. Now, you can go right on the website and do that, or you can call the office and they can give you the contact information for your local chapter.
Okay. And I know that now, have you, I'm trying to remember, did you also speak in the past at one of the conferences that Payman has?
This will be the first time that I've spoken there. I wasn't able to make it last year.
I think someone from the foundation was.
Yes, we have several people who do speak there.
Okay.
He came, we had a conference in San Francisco a couple of years ago, and he came to that, and he was so impressed. And he's right, you know, part of our freedom is having the freedom of good health. And so it's very important to not neglect that aspect. And I see a lot of people out there working in other fields, doing really important work, such as the work in the law or politics and whatever, but they're neglecting their physical bodies, and they could be so much more effective if they were, you know, paying attention to their health.
Well, you know, I'm a believer in that if one can truly understand what their body needs, mm-hmm. it can be, they can experience a total transformation. I mean, I've heard stories of that. I've known people, talked to people who, you know, found out some things and plugged some new things in and just totally, you know, their energy was way up all day. They were clear-headed. They were just solid, you know, just totally changed them.
Well, this is what happens when you're on a low-fat, low-cholesterol diet. After a while, your mind goes quite foggy. So it's very hard to think about things, to think clearly, yeah.
That's interesting. Well, it's sometimes, it's just like you said, then people are less effective at working towards restoring their freedom and dealing with issues that are coming up all around them in the world.
Right.
Absolutely. Well, you, I'll tell you, you certainly have very refreshing information.
Thank you.
So how did, what, maybe if you would just share with us, how did you... What was your journey? How did this whole thing get started? Where does it go back to?
Well, I read Dr. Price's book in the early 70s, and it made a huge impression on me, and I raised my family that way, and they were so much healthier than I was, and they didn't need braces, which is, of course, what he promises. If you eat this way, you won't need braces. Or if the mothers eat this way during pregnancy, the children won't need braces. And I also have always loved to cook, and so I decided to put the two together in my book, Nourishing Traditions, which is now up to almost 400,000 copies sold, so it's been very successful. And then Mary Enig, whom I've worked with, is a wonderful scientist who was the first scientist to warn the public about the dangers of trans fats. So she and I thought it would be good to set up this foundation to be able to keep providing accurate information about nutrition.
Great. Well, it's so you've been, now have you always been kind of an activist though, as far as, or just pretty much a person?
Well, certainly since the book was published. I've been very, very active since the book was published. Before that, I was cooking for my family.
I bet you travel a lot.
And by the way, that's something I say to you, especially young mothers. That's not the time of your life to be an activist. It's the time to stay home and make sure your children have healthy food and not be running them around all the place. And because, you know, this time for building a healthy body doesn't come back. You've got one chance, and that's when they're growing.
So true. It really is. Well, I want to tell you one thing. I'm really looking forward to the conference that's coming up.
Oh, well, thank you. I look forward to meeting you there.
Yeah, it'll be a pleasure on that. And, you know, I've been through Payman's Day event before that he's doing the last day as well, so people can have a choice of either one.
Mm-hmm.
And his is very, very good, and I'm glad that I already have that under my belt, because now I want to partake of yours.
Oh, well, thank you.
That'll be great, and I think that this particular event is going to be, there are going to be a lot of people there.
Yeah.
Because the way he's putting it on, the lineup he has, and that sort of thing, and so it's going to be a real pleasure. I think one of the great things there, too, is the networking that goes on.
Mm-hmm.
Among speakers, among participants, among vendors, among everything, the whole situation, people there leave there with all kinds of things going on for the future, ideas cooking in their mind, people collaborating and that
right.
sort of thing. So it's kind of a good ground for that to be able to happen. Would you say that What would you say you think is going to happen as far as Codex Alimentarius?
Well, it is happening in Europe. It's taken hold in Europe. It's the EU's food laws. I'm hopeful that they, you know, it's voluntary in the United States, and we have to be very vigilant that it doesn't happen here. I really can't predict. There's a lot more threatening things, in my opinion. One is the pending food safety legislation, which, if it passes in its present form, will be used to just wipe out small farms.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of scary. It really
yeah.
is. That's not the one that. That's not the McCain one, is it?
No, that's the dietary supplements one. Yeah.
Yeah, dietary supplements. That's right. That one too. There's all kinds of. There's so many fronts that they're coming at.
Yeah. Yeah.
On and. Sometimes it can seem overwhelming to people, but it doesn't have to be. You know, we can take appropriate
yeah.
action.
Well, first step is to eat right so you can deal with all this.
Yes, you'll be clear and creative and powerful and be able to wage a good campaign against
good fight.
It.
Good yeah, yeah.
And for, and it's important to be really for things and not just against everything.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what we try to always be positive at the Weston A. Price Foundation. Here's what you can do, yes.
That's great. Well, Keith in Branson, he's asking conference where and when. He must have come on later, and I'll just run that down
yes.
briefly. It's
uh-huh.
Freedom Law School's 2010 Take Back America Health and Freedom Conference, and that's being held March 12th through 15th. But so it's not that far away, really, when you think about it.
No.
Less than a month, just a
yeah.
few weeks away. And it's in Ontario, California. And for those that want to find out more about it or pre-register for it, there's no reason not to register for it because the conference itself is free. There's no charge for it. Donations are appreciated very much, and certainly those who can donate, and when it's appropriate to do that, to certainly donate to it, that helps this work go forward. But I think the attendance was important, and to make sure that no one was locked out because of money, because
yeah.
of our economy and the,
yeah.
the handicap that so many people are under right now. And that website is freedomlawconference.com. That's freedomlawconference.com, and you can get the information there and register for it, and I'd certainly encourage people to do that. It is limited amount of people that can attend it. It's that facility. It just will accommodate a certain amount, and when it's full, it's full. So don't wait too late until it's sold out, or I shouldn't say sold out. It's not really being sold, but until it's full. And I would say that Sally, as far as are there particular bits of information that you wanted to be sure to share with us, or
Well, there's a lot of good speakers on Sunday as well, so I would plan to go both days, Saturday and Sunday.
Sure, sure, and certainly it can't hurt for someone to attend the whole thing. I know I have for the last several years, and it's just been terrific, it really has, and we meet so many good people. A lot of our readers of our magazine come up to us, and we find out about stuff that it would be hard to, even if you just heard the lectures, like if you got, you know, tapes of them later on or something, you know, DVDs of them, there's so much of the experience that you would miss by not being there. So if it's humanly possible for you to be at this event, it would be terrific to do so. It definitely would. So with that, I would say that if anyone's got a question before we close it off, this would be the time to do it. Hit *2 on your phone keypad, or type your question in the question box and submit it, because we're close to closing the webinar, and I didn't want anyone that had a lingering question to not have an opportunity to be able to ask it. So let me just check real quick to see if we have a question here. Okay, well, I think you've just been really clear. And
well, thank you, Earl, and we'll see you there. We'll see you on the 15th.
Definitely will. And just in kind of closing it off, Sally, and I know you've got to go, so after you sign off, then I will make a few important announcements.
Okay.
For people. If you'd like to leave us with a closing thought, this would be the time to...
The closing thought is: eat the foods of your ancestors, your great your grandparents and great grandparents, and prepare them the way they prepared them.
Well said. And if you give your contact information again, the phone number and website for anyone that came on late.
Right. It's westonaprice.org, westonaprice.org. The phone number is 202-363-4394. And also my book, Nourishing Traditions, excuse me, you can get from newtrendspublishing.com. That's N-E-W-T-R-E-N-D-S publishing.com.
Great. Well, I really appreciate the time with you today, and I look forward to us meeting at the event. And I hope you have a wonderful rest of the day.
Thank you, Earl.
Okay.
All right. Bye now. Bye-bye.
Okay, and for everyone listening, we've just been speaking with Sally Fallon Morrill, and she, as I said before, she'll be at the Freedom Law School 2010 Take Back America Now Health and Freedom Conference in Southern California, March 12th through 15th. Go to freedomlawconference.com for the information on that. And I just want to give you a rundown of our exciting schedule for the rest of this week. We made it chock full of really good speakers, because every single speaker at this conference is awesome. They're the types of people that we would want to get on our webinars anyway. We've got Dr. Tim O'Shea, D.C., tomorrow. He's going to talk about Goodbye Swine Flu, Another False Pandemic Fades Away. And there's a lot more than just that title. He's an expert in a lot of areas. We had quite a bit of consternation on which one of his topics we would cover in the webinar. So some of the other topics may kind of leak out into the conversation tomorrow. So we'll see what happens. It could be really good. He said he could spend a good bit of time with us. So if there may be a lot of questions, and you could get him to delve into all kinds of areas, so that'll be stimulating. We've got Ramiel Nagel on Wednesday. He's going to talk about, is there really a cure for tooth decay? That should be very interesting for people to think there is no other way except go to the dentist and get drilled and plugged up with this, that, and the other, and metals in our mouth, and who knows what, toxic things used, and there may be some other ways to go about this. Then I'm really excited about Thursday. We've got Dr. Orly Tates, Esquire. She's a doctor and an attorney, and she's going to speak on the topic that many of you know her for. She's internationally known for the Obama legality question, the constitutionality of Obama being president on several fronts, not the least of which his actual birth not meeting the requirements in several different areas. And then the whole question of, does it really matter? I mean, why would it matter? Why is it so important? Maybe she can clarify that for us. I think you may have a new view on that, regardless of which way you fall on that issue. And then on Friday, we've got someone that's probably familiar to many of us, Joe Bannister. He's a former criminal investigator for the IRS. He's going to be exposing, he now actually does, and he will be talking about that tomorrow, how he's committed and dedicated to passionately exposing the criminality of the IRS and all of its nefarious activities. So this week is just awesome. I'm really pleased with what we've got lined up, and I invite you to join us for every one of those that you possibly can. You won't be disappointed. And the replay of this will be posted shortly after the webinar closes. We'll have it at republicmagazine.com/webinar. And not only that, but scroll on down that page and check out our library. It's a treasure trove of topics, special guests, very stimulating and informative. And share those with your friends. Get the information out. Send them out to your list, and let others know of the types of things that you're hearing about. So I want you to invite you to join us again tomorrow for our next informative webinar. And I'd like to thank you all for joining us today on the Monday Republic Magazine webinar. I'm Earl Bell. And as I said, today's speaker was Sally Fallon Morrill. And we'll see you all tomorrow. This officially ends our webinar. Have a great rest of the day. Goodbye.